Tweet Chris at News Talk Florida. You may hear your name on the radio. This radio, AM 820 News and 98.3 FM.
I appreciate you tuning in here this morning. I'm Corey Dillon, filling in for Chris Ingram. I have no idea. Everyone's asking me, where is Chris? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, the last time I knew, he was off to Cuba. Then he came back. He made it back. That's good. They let him back in the country. Who knew? But
he's not
yeah.
stuck in some cave.
No, I don't think so. God only knows, though. You know, he's just trying to save the world from liberals, probably. That's what Chris likes to do. But it's Corey Dillon, and I'm here with Dr. Harold Chinitsky. He is a sports psychologist. He's got a new book coming out on the 27th called A Champion's Mindset, 15 Mental Conditioning Steps to Becoming a Champion Athlete. And I know that you speak to a lot of people, and you have had many clients, some of which you cannot disclose.
That is
but
correct.
Because the golfer John Daly did disclose that he was working with you.
Mm-hmm.
What did he disclose? Because I know you can't, I guess, speak out of turn, but what did he say about the experience?
He was being interviewed on the Golf Channel, and he had gone through some rather remarkable changes. And
yeah.
The reality was that he was known as the Wild Thing, and us working together, our goal was to become known as the Mild Thing.
Oh, God, really? But
yeah.
But isn't that sort of John's charm? I mean, would a lot of people like, no, you don't want to take that away from John. It's maybe the drinking you might want to take away from John. But
the cool thing is, during the time that we had worked together, there was a healthier way of managing one's performance, both on and off competitive golf courses.
Well, and I mean, when somebody gets to the point that they need a sports psychologist, when they need to call you, is it because they're in, I mean, it could be a variety of reasons, I guess. I mean, it could be somebody like Jameis, who's in some legal trouble again, and he's getting suspended.
Right.
And probably that's costing him and everybody else a lot of money.
There's two directions that I can get the referrals. One is if it is by a commissioner, an owner of a team, or a coach of a team. And in that case, I call it a third person referral. It's referred by somebody else saying, you need to talk about this. The person's not motivated, not interested, usually is in denial, is pretty upset that they have to go talk to somebody. The most common referral that I enjoy, and last I checked, 84% of my caseload has been referred by somebody else on my caseload, is when someone that you know, your teammates, a player that you work with, turns to you and says, hey, listen, before you get on the radar, go talk to this guy, Chinitsky. No one needs to know. And so someone comes in and no one knows that I'm working with them, and they're very willing to talk about what's going on.
I mean, is it just a behavioral thing, or is it... I mean, I guess it could vary, too. I mean, somebody might have some deep-seated psychological problems. I mean, that's affecting either their game or their life.
Sure. Mental health is an equal opportunity condition.
Right.
So someone can have an anxiety disorder or depression, and then they're coming in and they want to be assessed and treated in a healthy way that way. Others, it could be how to manage their stress during a situation. Some individuals have a hard time letting go of the past, so when something negative takes place, it interferes with their performance. Some are worriers about the future, and some people tend to focus externally. And so our job is to help them to be able to stay in the moment.
Yeah, and so how do you do that? I know that you sort of use a lot of sports analogies, and you do some corporate training.
Do a lot of corporate training.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun, because corporate training can be kind of a same old, same old. And when I get the opportunity to go in, I do corporate training with a sports twist. And so I use sports examples, player examples, in terms of how to illustrate the corporate point. So how to be good teammates. And so I'll do it with an illustration on a football play. You know, how to be able to kind of understand your opponent. You need to be able to kind of assess what they're doing. You need to be able to figure out what to do, flexibility, how to take advantage of it. That's what a good coach does at halftime. They figure out what the opponent is. Well, in corporate America, you have to be able to find out what's the need of the person that you're interacting with. Is there an opportunity that you have to fulfill that need? And it's about the relationship. One of the things I always want to emphasize when I do corporate training, if all you do is look at your customer as a revenue stream, you will lose them. It's about relationship. If you can connect with someone based on what their needs are and you can partner with them, they will stay with you through thick and thin.
Yeah. I mean, and sometimes those partnerships can go haywire. I've had some of that in my background. I mean,
Well, some of the individuals are unscrupulous.
Yes.
A lot of the athletes that I work with don't know who their friends are, because people are trying to get just a piece of them.
Yeah.
Family members and other people will try to exploit them for their game.
Millions.
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron, for instance, I can't remember how many, it's over, 150 million or something like that to go to the Lakers?
Yeah, he's getting some big coin for
that. How does anybody stay grounded? I mean, do some of these people that are, they seem fine, you know, do they come to you too? Because it's like, how do I stay the course with this much money? I mean, a lot of winners are famous for losing it because they don't know how to earn it and save it and keep it in the first place.
Yeah, there's a great ESPN 30 for 30 document called Broke. And it follows
I think I saw that.
Lot of athletes who made tens of millions of dollars and they lost it all.
Plenty of former athletes living around here lost almost all of it because they were buying cars or jewelry or digging family members out of debt or whatever. Just spend like it was going to last, like their careers were going to last forever.
Right. I always talk about like two things with that. You can live like a king for a year or live like a prince for a lifetime. And it's a magnificent quote that really a lot of the athletes have to understand about being conservative. I do a quick math problem with all of my athletes, and I just did this with a group called Athlete Connections up in Orlando. If you are a professional football player and you're drafted in the sixth round, and let's say you get $700,000 for your contract, and you're there for the average length of time of the career, 3.2 years. That's it. Imagine your career being over in 3.2 years. But you don't think about that because you're, you know, 21 years old, 22 years old. You think this is going to go on forever. I'll be LeBron. I'll be Tom Brady. So I just take the sheet of paper and I go, well, 700,000, 3 years, that's 2,100,000. Fantastic. That's a lot of money.
That's enough to retire on, you know, if you play your cards right.
If you play it right. But then what I do is I take the sheet of paper and I just hold it up and I say, that represents your entire career, 2,100,000. I tear it in half and I go, well, there's taxes. Then I tear a portion off and I go, well, that goes to your agent. Tear off a larger portion. I go, that goes to your house for $600,000. Another portion for your mama's house for $250,000. Your SUV for $80,000. Your posse, your child support. Yeah. And by the numbers, it leaves you with a little square of about $60,000. What are you going to do with this for the rest of your life? So I do this training called Life After Sport. And it's a very common concern by a lot of athletes.
Yeah, well, at least they're concerned at this point.
Yes, and they're realizing that they're journeymen. They go from one team to another. They know the odds are they're going to either get cut and never picked up, or there's going to be an injury, a catastrophic injury. And so for
their survival is only till what, like 55? I mean, most of them don't live to even collect that NFL pension if we're talking the NFL.
Right. You bring up a marvelous point. And the first one is that most of them never get to the second contract. First contract is not the big one. Second contract is the big one.
Ah.
And most players actually never play that long to even get the second contract. But as you're talking about it, many players, and I work with some guys that they're 6'5", 315 pounds. And they have to eat 6,000 calories to maintain their weight. So when their career is over, they continue engaging in that kind of consumption of food without the same physical exercise. So it's not an eating disorder, but it's disordered eating.
Yeah.
And so we're more likely to see individuals who end up with cardiovascular conditions. We certainly are now becoming well aware of concussions.
CTE.
CTE, which is a dramatic consequence of having your head repeatedly injured. By the way, just for all the listeners, when they talk about making the sport safer, there is no such thing as a safe concussion.
Right.
You may not get a fracture because the helmet's better or your shoulder pad stops a broken on a shoulder, a clavicle, but there is no such thing as a safe concussion.
Yeah, well, and I've only had one, but it was a one woman car accident.
Ouch.
Yeah, in a parking garage. I'm good like that.
So it hurt, but it's embarrassing.
It didn't actually even really hurt. I just kind of hit my head. The airbags deployed, and you know, my head went sideways onto the windowsill, and there you go. But so the book comes out, A Champion's Mindset, 15 Mental Conditioning Steps to Becoming a Champion Athlete. Your website, drshanitsky.com.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
What a delight. Thank
you. I know.
You.
Well, thank you so much. It's so good to see you again and lots of good info. And, you know, like I said, those Thai boys might need you. You might have to go back to Thailand.
I have my phone
Serious.
On.
All right. All right. Well, appreciate it. You have a happy 4th.
Thank you. You do the same.
Appreciate you coming in. It's the Chris Ingram Show. We're back at 11.